So let's pray. Lord, you've called each one of us here this morning for a reason. It may be habit, it may be a particular time of our lives, or because you have something particular to say to us. Lord, I pray that you will open my lips and you will speak through them, that you will open our minds and you will think through them, and you will open our hearts and you will fill each of us with love for you and for one another. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. It's great to be back here at St. Francis. I'm not allowed to have any favourite churches. Thank you, Jean, for your welcome. It's always great to be back here at St. Francis. I love particularly this, we call this feast Candlemas, and if we were of a different tradition, you'd all be given candles on the altar behind me or the table behind me. But it's also the presentation of Christ in the temple, and it's a particular favourite feast of mine because in my kind of life and faith history, it's been the hinge points that have been really crucial to who I am and my life. And Candlemas is that hinge point. We're 40 days after Christmas, and we're moving in the liturgical year from one season of Christmas to another season. And I think those turning points, those hinge points, are really important. It's like being on a door, like a, you know, the hinge of the door. We're at the cusp of leaving from one space to another space, and that door's really important for us. So I'm really, really pleased to be here this morning. So Jesus, we've just heard. Thank you, Helen. Jesus has just been taken to the temple. He's a 40-year-old baby. And his parents are doing what is required of them in Jewish law. So at 40 days, particularly if you're a male, you're taken to the temple. You've got to make a sacrifice. Those two turtle doves, you can't afford two turtle doves. There is somebody in a temple who will sell you a couple of pigeons. You know, there's always, God provides at a cost in that case. And so they Mary and Joseph are doing what is required of them. And when they come into the temple, which was a massive, bustling, busy place, they meet two extraordinary people, Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna, two extraordinary people. Simeon, who was given a prophecy, we're not quite sure when he got the prophecy, but he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. I wonder if you heard that message to yourselves this morning, what you'd think. You might think, I'm going to live forever. Or you might think, crikey, what if that is a week on Thursday? You know, I've got that about the time left to live. So it's an extraordinary thing to be told that you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. And when he sees the Christ child, the spirit that gave him that prophecy wells up inside him and he goes, I've seen it. This is the child who will bring salvation to all God's people. And we have that extraordinary, it's a poem really, the Nunc Dimittis it's called. I'm going to get closer to somebody. The Nunc Dimittis. Do you want me to go this side? Stay where I am. Okay, fab. The Nunc Dimittis. That's, you know, Lord, now I can depart in peace. Your prophecy has been fulfilled. He can die in peace because in this child, he sees the glory of God, who will be a light in the darkness, a light not just to the Jewish people, but for the entire world, the whole of creation becomes bathed in the light that is now the Christ in the world, the Messiah, the Saviour. It's a beautiful and a resonant poem which reminds us on this day that Christ has come to the whole world. It ends the Christmas season and we have the symbolism of revelation, of encounter. Jean said at the start, we're here to encounter the risen Lord Jesus, and recognition, How do we see God in Christ in our own lives? But it's a festival of bittersweetness as well. It was really interesting, those testimonies we heard, they're all a bit bittersweet. And that's real. That's what faith is. It's not a sticky sweet pudding that makes us feel really good. It's a kind of bittersweet sort of thing, because, you know, life is tough, life is hard, and that's why we need faith. Much of the gospel is bittersweet. Gospel that Helen read for us this morning is bittersweet, because that Mary, don't forget, she's a young girl. She's a young girl, Mary, and she had to let go control of her own life and allow God to lead her. And now Simeon and Anna, those two really ancient people, you know, just think of me times two. They're that old. They're really ancient. And they tell these new parents, exhausted, rather like the parents having to lie down at the back of the church this morning. They're exhausted. They're overwhelmed. It's just gone, for crikey's sake, what are we doing here? Yeah? They're told that their child is extraordinary. Extraordinary in the way that they might have whispered to each other, gosh, this son is not like any son in the village. It's, you know, he's quite different. And they're told that their son will be the salvation for all God's people. And if that was not overwhelming enough, Mary is told, and a sword will pierce your soul, your heart, your soul. Now, all those who are mums here this morning will know what it's like to see the child grow up. Slightly different for us blokes, for some reason. But I think for a mum, to be told that a sword's going to pierce their heart, their soul, it's painful. It's really tough. So let's keep that prayerfulness for all parents. I'm still a parent. I've got two daughters. Pray for me. Okay, they are old enough to live on their own at the moment, but they're still drawing on the bank of mum and dad from time to time. So I know how hard it is to be a parent. But I want to leave Mary and Joseph just to one side this morning, because for me in that gospel, the two heroes are Simeon and Anna. They have come out of the shadows. You know, you can imagine if we turn the lights off, there'd be shadows in the corners of this temple. And that's where they had lived, just waiting for this one person to come into their lives. They're both very old. They're approaching the end of their lives. Simeon's been hanging around for a very long time. It's been revealed that he's not going to die until this child comes. And then this child enters the temple. Anna's a really interesting character. Anna, we were told, has been married for 7 years and her husband has died. And we assume that she had no children. Now that, in the time we're talking about, would have left her extraordinarily vulnerable. So she's got no husband to look after her. She's got no children. So it's a kind of bit of a shameful place for her to be. And that, I think, it's one of the reasons she probably gravitated to the temple, because in the temple she would have received hospitality. And that's really important in a church community, to be welcoming, inclusive. And Anna had lived there as the daughter of a prophet. So she becomes the kind of extension of Phanuel the prophet's ministry. And she is there as a prophet. Both of those people, Simeon and Anna, would have known pain, isolation, being vulnerable. They would have also been the forerunner of many people in our own time. In our own society, I think many older people are devalued, particularly women. And the example of Simeon and Anna actually turns our cultural prejudices upside down. And they show us that in terms of ministry and discipleship, the best is yet to come. They were in the right place at the right time. But their model is not a model of chance. This was not a happy accident, a coincidence. They show us something about patience and humility. Simeon grasps that God has wonderful things in store for him. Even at that great old age, God still needs him. He understands that the future is always bigger than the past. And I think as a nation, we've got to reimagine what that might mean for us. The future is bigger than the past. And I don't know what that means, but I just think that's true of where we are as a nation. If life is a quest for health and wealth and control, then aging does, of course, present many obstacles. But the story of Simeon is a beautiful challenge to ask what there is to live for, rather than regret what we have not. Beyond the acquisition of goods, the accumulation of experiences, and the postponement of death, there is still hope in Simeon's life. And we often hear people say that they would like to do something different, but it's too late to change. I wonder how many people have said that here in church this morning. I'd like to do this, but no, I'm too old, or I haven't got this, or I can't do that because of this. And I wonder how often we've heard that said by other people, and we've withdrawn from an answer, a positive response, such as, the future is brighter than the past, and God has your future in his plans. But it's also a story about community. If we look at the people who gather in the temple, you've got a 40-day-old child, you've got the young parents. Interesting, Mary would have been very young. Joseph, we assume, is actually quite a bit older, because he doesn't appear much in the gospel stories of Jesus later in life, so we assume he may not have been around for too much longer. And then we have those two extraordinary people, Simeon and Anna. Particularly, they're unrelated to anyone else. And so isn't that a bit of a parable about what church might be like? It strikes me that we've got young and old, we've got male and female, who are wanting to seek faith and a blessing, and they want to do that together. Churches, I believe, churches today are one of the very, very few places where unrelated people of different ages and backgrounds can meet and try and get along together. I don't know of any other institution that can happen in. I mean, tell me afterwards, please. So church, I think, is really, really special. We need one another to find inspiration and to realise blessing. It's often said that older people are lonely and isolated, and I know that is true, but so are younger people. Many younger people feel isolated and vulnerable. And so the answer lies in how we exercise our lives together. We are better together. And there's nothing sentimental about the prophecy that Simeon gives to Mary and Joseph. Jesus, quite simply, is going to turn people's lives upside down. He will cause division, and there will be pain felt by his parents. And so Simeon offers a wisdom in his old age that has known suffering and waiting, perhaps hardship and grief, but he sees through them to something that is beautiful, that is truthful, and is good. So Simeon and Anna didn't spend their lives trying to cling on to control or acquisition, protecting themselves against the inevitability of death. Simeon welcomes death as a blessing. He can say, at last, Lord, I can lie down in peace because your prophecy has come true. They spend their lives preparing for the moment they would come face to face with God in Jesus. Isn't that what we're all about, really? Isn't that why one of the reasons we're here this morning is to encounter something of God in Jesus? And that is reflected not only by the Spirit of Jesus who's with us, but in one another. If we all have something of that Spirit of Christ within each other, then actually Christ is truly present with us this morning, in you, in me, even in John.
Don't exaggerate.
And that's why community is so important, because we're all pieces, we're all part of the one body of Christ. And that will be replicated in churches right across Salisbury this morning, and across the country and across the globe as the body of Christ emerges from the resurrection on this Sunday. It's also a meeting of old and young. Simeon, mature and wise, takes the baby and blesses the baby because the Christ is the hope, not of the future, but of the present. And the faithful and joy-filled Anna begins to tell everybody about the child. And as church family, and I'm talking about all of us, as church family, we need to be reminded that children are not the church of the future. Children are the church of today. They need to be welcomed and nurtured and taught and formed in the faith so that they can confidently articulate that faith for themselves and take their place in the leadership of the church. If we don't listen to our children, we will be missing a trick. And a personal anecdote, I was brought to faith. My parents sent me to church as a kid. I didn't like it at all. And I was brought to faith by an 11-year-old. So all the adults had, you know, done their best and failed. And this 11-year-old said, "Alan, you need to come to church with me on Sunday." And I said, "Why?" Chris Hamlin is the guy's name. Lost touch with him 30, 40 years ago. "Why do I need to come to church with you?" He said, "They pay you to sing in the choir." And I went and I sang and I found Jesus. It was an 11-year-old. They are some of the best evangelists we have. So look after them, nurture them, and they will fill this church. So when you are here, the church is filled with a joyful noise. When you are here, the body of Christ is more complete. When you are here, we are reminded that this worship thing we do is coming together to worship as a community where all are welcome, where we share in word and sacrament together. When you are here, I hope that these seats will not be empty in 10 years' time, because your kids will be old enough to have brought other people to faith. And I know that they are learning and they are worshipping and they are enjoying their faith, which is reflected in your faces. So, I will end with a call to go out from this church and bear the goodness of salvation, which is for the whole of creation, and to be lights in this Candlemas, lights which will shine as the glory of God in a dark and forbidding world. We are all Simeons and Annas in waiting. We are all being recognized. We are all being prepared to recognize the coming of the Messiah afresh in our own generation. This is not a history lesson. This is about being the church today. May we be a blessing to one another as the whole family of Christ, and a blessing to our nation and the world. For God knows, this message of love and peace needs to be heard today and tomorrow. And as an evangelist filled with God's Holy Spirit, your light being taken into the darkness of the world will make a difference, not to you, but to the people you share that light with. To God be the glory. Amen.